What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks. I had to go about it, write it out, and find it myself. And there's some stories I can tell you.
I had to fail, had to fall, just for one. All right, it's the Final Word and Cricket Podcast, 2023 World Cup Daily Edition. Adam Collins, Cam Ponsonby in London. The action today was at the Wonka Day, work, rest and play in Mumbai, South Africa, Bangladesh. Cam, tell us about it in 30 seconds.
Well, the match finished about 20 minutes ago. The contest finished about 4 hours ago. South Africa piled on 380. Quinton de Kock, 174 in his 150th ODI. After a tiny little wobble from South Africa at the beginning, they're about 30 for two. And then Bangladesh's innings, they were 40 for 80 for six. It wasn't a cricket match for a very long period of time. Mamadullah gets a fantastic century. He gets 111. The next high score is 22. Yes, it's a World Cup ton, but I'm going to be horrible and say he had a net for an hour and a half.
Yeah, I feel like I want to sit here and celebrate Mamadullah. He's a player who Jeff and I really bonded over during the 2015 Absolutely. World Cup, making it, you know, World Cup 100 there, which was a memorable one against New Zealand, another against England too. I love that he's still going. He's been kind of shuffled around the order. I didn't expect the lead on Bangladesh, but here we are. now we've reached that point. Haven't told you any of the details about the game. Let's talk about Mamadullah. I felt at different points he's been written off by the selectors and he's had times out of the team, but he's one of the great survivors, a bit like his old mate Mushfika, who's still there with him, still making brother-in-law. A contribution. Brother-in-law too, yes. Yeah. We did note that the other day on the show. Don't quite know how that works, whether it's whose sister's with.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, you know what I'm trying to say. A bit like Gary Ablett and Michael Tuck, for those who like. But the key point here is that Mamadullah's got a third one-day 100 and no one else has done that for Bangladesh.
Yeah, I mean, his World Cup record's extraordinary. His average is 58 across World Cups. Yeah. He's got four ODI hundreds in total from about a gazillion matches, and all of them have come in major competitions. I don't think he was meant to be in the plans for this World Cup so much. Then he kind of came in, he might have started the tournament at eight, shuffled up to six, and it's been like a real tale of individual fortune. And I think it's probably, we can sit here and go and moan about Bangladesh saying, oh, they're bottom of the table with England, funny. And they've lost kind of four of their five, but three of those losses have come against the top three. So I think it's a tournament where their kind of toughest fixtures are front loaded. So although you could argue, oh, they're down and out, it's terrible for Bangladesh at the moment, I think if we give ourselves another 3 weeks, they'll probably come out with a couple more wins and it'll look fairly respectable.
I'm slightly worried it might go the other way.
Okay.
I love Bangladesh, love this team, have been a strong supporter of theirs on the pod and elsewhere, but I just don't think the magic's there right now. Look, they had Shakib back today, right? So Shantay wasn't captaining. And I reckon they were dealt a real blow against India the other day, like just being beaten the way they were. They were toyed with at the end. It was like those old days when you would see these mismatches at the World Cup where teams would take the piss. That's kind of how it felt towards the end with them there. And they didn't respond well today. Although, with the ball early on, they did keep things broadly together. In a way, it felt like the whole first innings of this match, we were just simply waiting for the final 10 overs.
It's remarkable.
You know, I just felt like when I was watching the first, let's call it 35 overs, they're only going at about fives, but the ceiling is so high for South Africa, the way they can put the foot down, and this is the real story from today, 174 runs in the final 13 overs, 144 in the back 10. That's more than they made against England, 143 a couple of days ago. They love playing in Mumbai. This is the ground they've done it twice. Klassen right in the middle of it, was Miller time at the end too. De Kock, who we've barely even touched on, making 174, I think it was, by the time he was out with a few overs to go. They have got the ability to really punish teams. And I think the overarching narrative with South Africa at the moment is that they are the team in this tournament who are best suited to batting first. And yes, the reason that is that they can apply pressure in that final stretch that means it transfers into the second innings, no matter what they're defending. They had heaps to play with today after making 382. But even if it's, say, 302 and they do their best work in the final 10 overs, that tends to carry over when defending. So, and that's certainly what happened today, taking three wickets in seven balls in overs seven and eight. There was no way Bangladesh could win from there.
I think it's the difference, and it's the mentality of cricket and that switching that mindset from setting to chasing. Setting, Pakistan, I don't know where they've come from, South Africa have six batters that can absolutely belt you.
Yeah.
Then you have Marco Jansen, who can also do it, and you can have people who can chip in. When you flip that, they have only have six batters who can chase, and then all of a sudden you're into the bowlers. So they do feel a more fragile unit batting second.
Which is what we saw against the Netherlands last week, right?
I've got a stat for you. I think you're going to like this, if I can phrase it properly. So South Africa got 144 off their last 10. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a run rate of 14.4. They got 143 last time. Quick maths.
14.3?
Yep. Well, bang. Their run rate of three hits in the history of them batting in ODI cricket is 14.7. So in the last 10 overs of their last two matches, they've been scoring at the same rate as when they have a complete free hit. And they've done that for 20 overs.
Well, it looks that way.
That's good. Is that right?
It is good. It indicates they're playing with the freedom they have when they're unable to be dismissed. And that's fantastic. How it looks when Klaassen's in swing. There was one moment today when he was berating himself when he couldn't quite clear the pickets from a ball that it wasn't a Yorker length. It was a length delivery, as they say in the modern parlance. But he got plenty of it down to long on for a single. He is now expecting to hit balls in his arc for six. That's his starting point. I will hit it for six or I might hit it for four. You very rarely see players in that kind of nick. It actually reminds me of Lance Klusener in 1999. Klusener played a different way to class, and I'm not saying stylistically they're the same, but that confidence that no matter where the ball is, I can find a way to place it to the point of the ground where I'm most productive, dead straight all the way through to wide long on. And he hit how many sixes today? Another eight sixes and two fours. It's not about hitting fours for him, although one of the fours he hit behind backward point was an absolutely genius shot when he had to reach for a slower ball and he still managed to squeeze it through. But it's brute force. And they refer to this on telly. It's like a backswing. Like he does it with presumably incredibly strong forearms and strong wrists, and that is enough to get the power through the blade and through the ball. That means that he can hit it 75 metres without really loading up.
Well, he bats with a club. He's like Faf du Plessis, and he has that very, very wide grip. And I don't know if this is potentially like a South African thing or just two examples of what the players using the same technique from the same country. But you see his wagon wheel from today, it's so like deep mid-wicket dominated, basically.
Yeah.
You even see that when he does play a cover drive, it's a forehand in tennis. It's kind of a less elegant version of like the Joss Butler kind of forehand or topspin when he drives through the ball. And they're just a team playing with such confidence. When Quinton de Kock got out for 174, he sliced, but he didn't even slice. He hit a full toss out to deep backward point. And the look on his face when he got caught was kind of like genuine shock. But he also looked very happy because he was like, oh, I'm out. Like that. I didn't, there was no world where someone was going to get the better of me.
I feel like with him,
perfectly.
Yeah, it was a glorious shot from de Kock to get out, like to open the blade the way that he did, get caught at deep backward point. It was going for six. It was caught right on the rope. I can't remember who took it in the end. But 174, that's the third time in one day cricket he's gone beyond 150. So he's not converting. He's 200 conversion. But I reckon that was partly in his mind. What over is that? He's out in the 40, first ball of the 46th over.
I think that's the perfect innings. Don't bat through. You want more time to relax. You want a bit of time to sit down and watch your
mates. Well, he didn't have to keep, did he?
Exactly. So apparently, this is his third 100 of the competition. On at least two of the occasions, he then hasn't come back out and kept wickets. So I think he's just put his feet up.
Doing what Jason Roy did in the 2019 World Cup. It is a good gig. But 174, 140 balls, third century of the World Cup. He said after play in the interview he was more tired than relieved and tired than anything else. That was his prevailing emotion after being out there for the better part of the day, another hot day in Mumbai. The way de Kock's batting has never been better than this. There have been times in his career. Let's remember, we're only 2 years on from a World Cup when he, broadly speaking, had himself taken out of the team for being unwilling to take the knee. Like, all the politics around that, there was chat then. In fact, if you go back and listen to the episode we recorded that day, Jeff and I, there was well-sourced chat that he may not play for South Africa anymore. Well, now, I know he hasn't got the captaincy. It's Aidan Markram leading the way, made 60 from 69 in the middle overs today when Bangladesh, for a time, were able to do something of a job. That was mostly through Shakib, who got taken for a bit of tap towards the end, but for the most part, bowled tidily. De Kock at the top of the list, never been better.
I know. I think it's interesting when you see, it'd be very easy to think, this is a player who's 30, 31 years old. He's retiring from ODI cricket, having already retired from Test cricket. But there's a growing thing in football where you don't judge a player by their age, you judge them by like minutes played, basically. Yep. And I get that impression with de Kock. I think in his quotes, when it was a case of, I'm retiring, he was like, if I didn't care about this team, I'd have stopped 4 years ago, basically. Like, I'm tired, I've played so much cricket, I'm just done, basically. I'm going to go and chase the cash for a couple of years and then go and put my feet up and go fishing. And I think it's very easy to, because I definitely get that. I get that kind of pang of sadness where you go, there's such a high quality player here. You want to see them play for as long as possible. But actually, there's been a decade of Quinton de Kock. And if someone does that decade from 25 to 35, you go, fair play, whatever.
Yeah.
Go on your way.
I think what we're... Yeah, he's an all-time great South African cricket. Because for so long, it was Mark Boucher who was the standard bearer in one-day cricket for South Africa. And he doesn't come along much after that. I mean, the last series for Boucher's 2012. I can't remember when de Kock made his debut. But it's around then, as a younger man. His numbers will stack up with the very best keeper bats that have played the game.
I thought an example of the quality of de Kock's innings today was his first reverse sweep. It was against the offspin, I think it was against Mehdi, and he just picks it up. He kind of knows roughly that there's going to be a line outside of stump, flips his hand, and then hits the ball backwards, basically. Mm. Catches up with it, but really strikes the ball for six. And the point was made that that was the first time he went to play that shot. It was a strike rate of 600 when he opted to go for that shot, when he opted to play it. And he was on about 60 when he played it. And just that kind of clarity of thought, that range of options, that range of potential shots and scoring areas... I mean, you kind of hope he doesn't run out of runs. I was looking through his form just out of interest, and I'd forgotten, like, in the last warm-up before the World Cup, he got 80 red as well. So this guy's gone 80 red, 100, 100, two misses, and another ton. Like, keep going. Don't use up all your runs now, but also keep going. I don't know how it works.
You've got to keep going. I mean, Rohit Sharma made 5 World Cup hundreds in 2019. Kumar Sangakkara.
So 4 in a row.
Made 4 in a trot in 2015. Well, we're talking about great keeper bats. If de Kock keeps going, that could be an all-time record. Chennai is where they're off to next, by the way, South Africa. Wonderful. So they play Pakistan there on Friday. So 3 days from now, that's a huge game for Pakistan. South Africa in a better spot than them at the moment. Then they've got New Zealand, India and Afghanistan to finish. So there'll be no easy wins for South Africa from here, including Afghanistan, given the way they've played across the last couple of weeks. Bangladesh have the Netherlands at Calcutta on Saturday. I think that's a danger game. I think the Dutch are playing better cricket than Bangladesh at the moment. There are individual performances. There's Mahmudullah, hadn't touched on Mehdi Hasan yet, my fave, 1 for 44 from his 9. Good ball to pick up. Rassi van der Dusen early on. I think he made 1 from 7. But yeah, Bangladesh, Netherlands, then they've got Pakistan, Sri Lanka and Australia to finish. I think there is an outside chance they finish bottom, and that brings me no joy, believe me. And tomorrow, for what it's worth, Australia play the Netherlands at Delhi. That's where Jeff will be back with me on that. And England are playing the following day against Sri Lanka, which is a must win for both teams, at Bangalore at the Chinnaswamy. All right, Cam, I think it's time that we go to the Final Word Hall of Fame.
Wonderful. I've got Lizard Williams playing only his second ODI ever. By the way, I have you know, it's quite funny if you read through his cricket info, all the news articles are Williams called up as cover. Just never selected in the initial squad. He's always there as the backup. And you think, like, he's got a game today because Ngidi had a kind of problem with his knee. Sasanda Magala and Anrik Norkia missed out on the squad going into it. Mm. So he's basically kind of come from a long way back to all of a sudden find himself playing in the World Cup. And he poached the kind of his first wicket was out of Shakib Al Hassan. Mm. And it was kind of a ball that's gone across the left-hander, caught behind, and look, I don't want to take away from the guy's moment. It was made to get the score 30 for 3 and you're 350 runs in the bank, but that almost reinforced why and how much it meant to him, because his celebrations were amazing. There was so much passion that came out of him, so much excitement, and it was a really lovely moment within a game that had otherwise kind of lost its kind of tension.
Speaking of passion and excitement, you've jumped way ahead there. You wanted to talk about that so badly. You've denied me the chance to say the Final Word Hall of Fame is brought to you by Westfield London.
You gave me the look in the eye.
And Westfield Stratford City. Rediscover the magic of the festive season this year as you glide around Europe's tallest Christmas tree at the ice rink at Westfield London. Whether you're Torvald and Dean doing the Bolero, that's right, isn't it?
Yeah, that sounds like the right word.
Olympics in 1984, or you've never skated before, it's perfect festive season night out, or day out for that matter. Google Westfield ice skating, Westfield London, more extra, less ordinary. And you know, that huge Christmas tree, I went there yesterday, it's a huge joint, so I'll be there.
Biggest in Europe?
Biggest in Europe. You can't get big. I mean, biggest.
You can't get bigger than that in Europe.
I can't quite Yeah, if it's the biggest in Europe, I'm tipping it's the biggest in the world. At least say it. You know, it's like when I worked in politics, we would often, you make the claim.
Yeah.
Yeah, and let someone you get a better headline by saying the thing. Let someone shit can it later. That'll get, you know, that'll be in paragraph three. Make the claim, get the hit, get the headline, and deal with the repercussions.
But we're really, really sorry. There is a bigger one in South America. You say that afterwards.
Yeah, that's right. Bigger. Yeah. The bigger tree in Buenos Aires is paragraph three after you've made it clear that the biggest one in Europe and indeed the world is at Westfield London. I'm going to update the copy before tomorrow. My Hall of Fame moment. Oh, it was one of Klaassen's sixes. So Klaassen's twatted it over deep mid wicket, stop press, and it hit the Sachin Tendulkar stand sign, and you can tell I'm not getting stuck into the TV production.
It sounds like you are.
I understand what it is. I understand the market they're dealing with here. I get how this all comes together. I know who pays the bills. But as soon as it was mentioned that it hit the Sachin Tendulkar sign, the zoom in shot on the name Sachin all the way in. Well, I mean, any way you can fillet Sachin on the broadcast is a good day on that front. Speaking of, the broadcast, not fillating. There you go, there's the episode title. Yeah. Marco Jansen, his second ball, I reckon, of the defence.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just the classic unplayable where it's angled in from left arm over the wicket in towards the pegs and hooped away magnificently like he's bowling in the first over of a test match. And I love that there's still room for that in a one-day international. We speak so much about, you know, variations, those poor Bangladesh bowlers at the end of their fielding innings. Hassan Mahmood, talk about on a hiding to nothing, bowling to
11s, right?
Klaassen. And so, and they, you know, I look through the chart of all the overs at the end, and of those 13 overs of pain, not one single over went for less than 8 and over. Only 3 were in single digits. So there's nothing you can do. So there's so much emphasis on that at the end of the first innings, yet at the start of the second, only 40 minutes later, you've got a class fast swing bowler hooping it around corners, which I always love.
There was two things that reminded me of two things. One was David Miller chatter at the end of the innings, and he got about 25 off about one ball at the end, 34 or 15 to be
four
precise.
Sixes, and one of those dead straight was a beauty, one of the best of the tournament.
And he had a good line. He was talking about the wicket, and he was using words that you'd normally frame it to be a negative. He's like, it's a bit sticky, a bit stoppy. And he went, so actually the slower balls just sat up really nicely. And you're like, fucking hell, mate. All right, how far have you been hitting it? And then to go back to like Marco Jansen, like he did bowl that absolutely like spectacular delivery, perfect. The aesthetics were where they should have been. Then he gets two and two balls, both strangled down the leg side. Easy game.
Yeah.
What's the problem?
It can be sometimes. All right. Thanks, Cam. As I mentioned, tomorrow it's back with Australia and the Netherlands, South Africa. Their wonderful week in Mumbai is complete. Our coverage is for Westfield London, Westfield Stratford City. More extra, less ordinary. Catch you tomorrow. Future questions, my current senses. That'd be the same we've been doing for centuries. Sorry if I ran out to empty, broke this, so you know what I meant here. I had to go about it.